I didn't even know they were saying those things about me. Then I call home, and people be like, oh, my God, are you all right? Yeah, chill, I'm in Africa, baby. What's going on? And then I got a call from a journalist that had been working on a story, and he was like, yeah, rumor mill's going on about you. Just want to clear a few things up. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? Okay, do you smoke crack? I said, what? Do you smoke crack? Did you graduate from high school? I mean, it was all these crazy questions. And I thought about never coming back. I said, this place is crazy. Like, I'm that dude. I just thought about all the things that celebrities go through and what celebrities become in our culture. You know, if you Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston and your marriage is breaking up, that's an awful thing. But to see that speculation in people gotta sting a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I realized, oh my God, I'm one of those people. That's a small club, man. That's a weird place to be. Ain't really no going back. You can't get unfamous. You can get infamous.
Right.
But you can't get unfamous.
Right.
So I got scared. I'm not going to lie, y'all. I was scared to death. And I didn't touch the mic. This past year, I did the least stand-up I've done since I started. I was freaked out, man, with the fame thing and being called crazy and drug addict and all these things. Scared me. You know, just being treated that way. Like, I'm not a person anymore. You say this shit about me in front of my children. And you know, who the fuck do these people think they are? And they don't know what happened. You know, I have not spoken about what would make a person walk off the set of a successful show and go to Africa. But again, people don't understand it, so they call me crazy, and I don't like that. One of these magazines, Newsweek, it's a very credible magazine, and they're saying, you know, maybe I smoke crack, and it was all innuendo, and the magazine as credible as Newsweek, I was very surprised that this was happening. And then I gotta make some real choices, man. Is that what I want for myself? Did I get too big? Because I like people. I like entertaining. And the higher up I go, for some reason, the less happy I am. You know, is it gonna get to the point where I'm doing a striptease on TRL or waving a gun on the street, saying they're trying to kill me? No, I'm not gonna let it get to that point. I'm going to go to Africa. I'm going to find a way to be myself, man. I got to, I'm an artist, man. I don't need a sneaker deal. I mean, I'd like one, but there's only 6 studios, man. There's only 6 agencies, man. This is a small controlled thing, and I don't like having to beg for the spotlight, man. You know, the machine is good for us and we good for the machine, and it should be fair, man. Martin had a stroke. He almost died. And then after that, I saw him and I was like, oh my God, Martin, are you okay? And he said, I got the best sleep I ever got in my life. That's how tough he is. So let me ask you this. What is happening in Hollywood that a guy that tough will be on the street waving a gun, screaming, they are trying to kill me?
Yeah.
What's going on? Why is Dave Chappelle going to Africa? Why does Mariah Carey make a $100 million deal and take clothes off on TRL? A weak person cannot get to sit here and talk to you. Ain't no weak people talking to you. So what is happening in Hollywood? Nobody knows. The worst thing to call somebody is crazy, is dismissive. I don't understand this person, so they're crazy. That's bullshit. These people are not crazy. They're strong people. Maybe the environment is a little sick.
Rap.
I don't want nobody telling me what to do.
Yeah.
Don't tell me how to blow my horn.
Rap.
I don't want nobody telling me what to do.
Yeah.
Don't tell me
how to rap.
I don't want nobody telling me what to do.
Yeah.
Don't tell me how to blow my horn.
Rap. Rap.
Heard is great. No, for real. Mel Gibson told me, so you gotta go. I've never met Mel Gibson. So, huh? He is. No, Mel Gibson is an incredible filmmaker. And he's the only guy that beat the American Media Machine. It's a very difficult fight. I've tried it, and I lost. Oh, no, they'll whoop you good. You can't even buck the system just a little bit. Look at Britney. Britney Spears just wanted to have a couple babies. Look what they did to that girl. Fucking awful, man. She had to shave her head, just take the heat off her pussy for a minute. I mean, it was like all that shit happened to her. Some people know how to beat it. The politicians, they can beat that shit because they get caught. Remember Gavin Newsom, he's the mayor of San Fran, right? So he gets caught fucking his campaign manager's wife. They were like doing blow and all that shit. It's pretty old. I like Gavin Newsom though. That's fucked up. You know what I mean? It was just campaign man. His whole job was to be like, this guy right here is a hell of a guy. Some was a pretty dirty dog, right? So, but he got away with it. He's still like Teflon politician. And you know what he did? Check himself into rehab. That's the move in America. I don't know what it's like in Britain, but in America, it's secret celebrity system. Rehab is base. For regular people, that's like, you got to go there, get better and shit. But in the media style, like years up, San Francisco mayor, Gavin Newsom, base, nigga, I'm in rehab. 60 days. I got 60 days. I don't want to hear it. And I didn't know about rehab when the media got me and they hit me with the crackhead rumor. That shit was fucked up. And I'm a skinny black dude. I can't defend myself. It's hard. You know, people just believe that shit. It's very hard to defend yourself from that. Who else got in trouble? They get everybody. Elliot Spitzer. I actually like Elliot Spitzer too. I got a lot to say about that. Come on, man. Can't anybody? Am I the only one that can? Can you see the codes, Sharaj? You see the codes. You see the codes, right? It's always about something. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you actually understand what I'm saying? It's not Elliot Spitzer, though. It's just that dirty-ass system. Right.
Hmm? Everybody gets in trouble, but not for the same kind of reasons. It's... I can't explain it. It's a very big idea, and I don't know how to distill it without sounding like a crazy conspiracy nut. But it's not a conspiracy. It's an actual fact. You ever read this thing about... Lincoln and Kennedy. Yeah. Somewhere on the internet, you'll find it. It's a list of similarities between, like, you know what I mean? Like Abraham Lincoln's secretary's last name was Kennedy. Kennedy's secretary's last name was Lincoln. I used to be an usher at Ford's Theater when Lincoln got shot when I was in high school. I had nothing to do with the murder. But I just pay attention to these types of things. You know what I mean? Like the way they be trying to roll Barack over like he's Martin Luther King. That's a complete media phenomenon. I didn't draw that line. Martin Luther King was not an elected official. He wasn't. He was a chosen official, but he was not an elected official. That's the difference. Someone sees a young preacher this charismatic, they say, you know what, this guy could actually lead our movement. And at first they asked him, he said, I don't want to do it. They said, why don't you want to do it? Because I'm 22, bitch. I'm getting pussy. I'm having fun. But then eventually he's going to understand, like, this movement is bigger than him. And yet, may not have been the same movement without just that one individual. Now, okay, here comes Barack. Barack runs. And it was just that shit happens. You know what I mean? Can't explain it. Yes, I can. Barack runs against John McCain, right? Barack's campaign song is Stevie Wonder's Signed, Sealed, Delivered. I'm yours. Right? Stevie Wonder sponsors a bill for the Martin Luther King holiday. John McCain is from the only state that refused the Martin Luther King holiday, the state of Arizona. Anyway, the point is, it's the same shit with all these people. Elliot Spitzer. Elliot Spitzer, how could he go to a call girl after he was busting prostitution rings in New York? I'll tell you how. Because he was the fucking attorney general. If you're the attorney general and someone puts a docket on your desk, he can't be like, I can't bust these people. I buy pussy. He just has to go and prosecute the case. That's his job. He wins cases. Of course, he's going to have political aspirations because he was good at what he did. And then Nas, remember when Nas went crazy on the radio and he said, Hot 97 is taking money to play up these records and da-da-da-da-da. And everyone was like, Nas is insane. And Elliot Spitzer was like, I'm going to look into that. And Elliot Spitzer went in there and he was like, hey, these guys are taking payola. And they fucking ended the practice, the age-old practice of payola in radio. And then years later, he's going to get busted at the fucking Mayflower Hotel in Washington, D.C., buying pussy. Let me tell you something. I'm from D.C. Do you know Mayflower Hotel? That's where Marion Barry was smoking crack while he was fucking a girl that wasn't supposed to be. The point is this. Getting caught with a call girl at the Mayflower Hotel is like getting caught with a cheeseburger at McDonald's. Nigga, that is where you're supposed to do those kinds of things. And then the girl comes out with a MySpace page, and she's like, oh, the reason I was sucking all these dicks is because I was trying to work on my music career. I'm a musician. I said a magician. She said musician, but I heard magician. Ladies and gentlemen, for my next trick, I'm going to suck a record contract out of an attorney general's dick. Ta-da, same label as Knott's. And you know what's so crazy about that shit, which brings me back to the whole thing I was saying in the first place, is that Elliot Spitzer was going to get prosecuted under the Mann Act. And that says it all. You know the Mann Act? The Mann Act? The Mann Act. Sherrod, you don't know the Mann Act?
No.
You better know. In your line of work, you need to know these things. The Mann Act is the law that says it's illegal to take a girl across state lines for purposes of debauchery. The Mann Act was written to get one man, and that man was Jack motherfucking Johnson, the first black heavyweight champion of the world. He used to beat the shit out of white men and leave the arena with white women in the 20s. It was amazing. He fucked the whole matrix up. When Jack Johnson won the world championship, he chased the white champion. Back then, white champions would be like, I don't fight black people. It's beneath me. But really, they were scared to death. Jack Johnson was huge. And you seen them old tapes in them boxes. Them motherfuckers had that style. Jack Johnson moved like a modern person. You know, these motherfuckers, if I had a time machine, I could be the heavyweight champion in the world. Is this motherfucker pointing his fist at himself? I beat the shit out of these guys. It was amazing. I mean, if you watch some of these Jack Johnson, because back then, you know, they wasn't the same fight regulations. He would whoop their ass for hours. This was before cable television and all that shit. And just bop, 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 ew! And it was fucking amazing. And then he would leave the arena, and he would openly have sex with white women all the time. Now, you think he would get persecuted for that, but they never touched him. Because the heavyweight champion of the world is the most prestigious title in sports, period. You know who suffered for that? Them white women. One killed herself. No, one killed herself. I mean, they fucking ostracized these women like you wouldn't believe. Just cut them off from everything they knew and loved for fucking around with Jack Johnson. And then they couldn't stop Jack Johnson. The headline of the paper said, Jack Johnson is it. They chased this nigga around. They made the Mann Act. He had to flee the country. He was living in exile, couldn't fight anymore. When Muhammad Ali saw Jack Johnson's story on Broadway, he said, that is my story. If you change white women to Islam, he said, that is my story, right? Jack Johnson just got pardoned in 2005. Do you know who sponsored that bill? Oh. John McCain. Wow. Cleaning up from that Martin Luther King shit. I'm telling you, it's all fucking connected. It's a very flimsy system of pseudo or false morality. Yeah. Is anybody in here gay? Get her! No, it's good. I'm totally joking. This is New York. Are you gay for real?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know that gay marriage is illegal, right? Why do you think that that's illegal?
People suck. I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that.
Do you even care about marriage?
Yeah, I want to get married. Go in. It's
really to a girl or a guy?
Girl.
Just checking. Why do you think it's illegal?
People are scared of change.
Do you think so?
Morality.
Who said morality? Do you think so? I don't. Who's morality? Who said big business? She knows what's going on. Huh? Hmm? Yeah? And that's all good and well. You see, here's the thing. No matter what your morality is, it's still a secular society. So even if gay marriage is against my own personal beliefs, I can't necessarily believe a government that would say we don't want to do that for moral purposes. Not while you fucking bombing Iraq like that or sending motherfuckers to Afghanistan like that. I mean, you can't be hitting me with all this dubious-ass morality. They say morality because that's what their constituents need to hear. And because they think that's what their constituents want to hear. But honestly, Bill Clinton said 90% of the shit that people talk about has nothing to do with what the actual job of the president is about. You think the president be sitting around, what time is it, 10 o'clock? Oh, we got that gay meeting. Hey, guys, what are we going to do about that? I mean, they don't give a fuck about it. Who actually is going to give a fuck? Big business. And I have a whole belief system about that you just don't want to know about. I'll tell you part of it. All right. Listen, marriage laws are fucked up in America. I don't think that the government should have that much say in actually how people devise a marriage, because a marriage, right, devoid of any kind of religious belief or emotion like love, is a business contract, period and simple. And tons of people in Washington or legislative bodies, even guys like Elliot Spitzer that have wives or fuck prostitutes, live in loveless marriages. And they have these shits arranged because they're in such a high social stratosphere that they have to keep up a certain appearance. So why are they imprisoned by their own marriage? It's this form of economic slavery. And if you look at the way this shit happens, corporations were made legal in the United States by the 14th Amendment, right? Or 15th Amendment, which freed the slaves. And then under those rights, people said, we want the same rights as those motherfuckers as collective individuals, right? And if you're a collective individual and two collective individuals want to do business with one another, one's masculine, one is feminine, so they define a marriage institution between man and woman. But what if corporations is gay? I'm just saying. What if Aunt Jemima doesn't want to be with Uncle Ben? What if Aunt Jemima wants to do business with Sara Lee? Well, wait a minute. What if Uncle Ben wants to do business with Mr. Clean? That's all I'm saying. Guys, wait a minute. That's a little gay. I'm sorry, I thought that was funny. What if Aunt Jemima... I don't think that's what Mr. Clean was. Uncle Ben wouldn't do this. Maybe I should have picked different companies. I put myself in a bad position. I'm just joking around. You're like, we don't want to hear this shit. It's just a conspiracy theory. I believe in aliens too, bitch. How about that? They're coming. Damn aliens, they're here. Thank you. All that shit. Fake. World Trade Center. Fake! You want to know who blew that shit up for real? I ain't going to say that. You know, it's my own personal thing. I don't even want to say that shit. It's, no. You know who I think blew up the World Trade Center? Ashton Kutcher. America, you have been pumped. Why did he blow up the World Trade Center? I don't want to sound like a cynic. Shit was crazy. Huh? I don't know the truth, but I know who does. Strippers. They know everything. Does anyone have a cigarette? Sure. Good on you, mate. I wish I had it. Your accents are so nice. Huh? And I do listen to BBC News. We all listen to the BBC. You're all listening to the BBC. That's what they say all the time. GMT. Oh, every time you say what time it is, it goes GMT. What does that mean? Whose mountain? Greenwich. Oh. It's the center. Oh, okay. Mean time. Greenwich mean time. Is that where the phrase mean time comes from?
Yeah, baby.
Wow, you can tell that your country conquered a lot of shit, man. Greenwich Mean Time. I learn shit every day. It's Greenwich Mean Time. Have you ever heard that before? Yeah, bro, you ever heard that before?
Yeah, I've heard it.
Oh, you're from Ireland, though. You, Greenwich, yeah. Meantime? What's so mean about it? It's a timeline. Oh, okay.
Like it's
okay. You ever seen a guy's mind stretch?
I'm in MI5 for it. Like in the 24 hours, like 00.
Oh, I don't do that 24-hour clock shit. I hate that shit. It's 1,500 o'clock. 1,500?
Well, that's the point you got moved here. I'd like to make life easy.
No, I don't like that shit. That's when it's good to have them strippers around. Strippers are like the Google of the streets. Never seen someone answer so many questions without a crystal ball. It's true, it's amazing. Skill sets. Girls behavior. I'm an accountant. No. I'm a dog trainer. I never got that thing. It's amazing. All right, it was something hilarious, though. All this shit is depressing. Ashton Kutcher didn't blow up those buildings, by the way. I don't want you to think. I'm not going to put that on him. Huh?
If he did, who was he talking?
American people. American person is one of the most lied to people in the world. That's our whole game with America. Because freedom is not a privilege, my friend. It is a fucking burden. Because a free person has to make choices all the time. And you can't make a good choice unless you have the information. And in America, it's not like China. You know, in China, when they had an earthquake, you know what the headline was in the newspaper? What earthquake? They don't tell those people shit.
Twitter.
In America, they'll tell you every goddamn thing, and then they don't prioritize the information. You got to figure all that shit out for yourself. That's right. The war will be breaking out, and you'll be like, did Michael Jackson fuck them kids? Deck is shuffled funny. Because we live in the age of spin. You got to be so smart to live nowadays in the age of spin. You watch the news, that's not an absolute truth. That is a version of the truth. People tune into the version of the truth that makes them feel more comfortable. Sometimes I watch CNN, I be feeling bad, and I turn to Fox. Like, phew, we're winning again. You got to just switch frequencies. That shit is not the truth. All the time. They'll tell you the truth, man. That shit, man. That's why I like Anderson Cooper, because you can tell when he doesn't believe the story he's reading. It's just like... I just work here, Dave. I don't know. Something to that. It's not that. You know what it is about the age of spent? Because they play so much words, I don't even know what the fuck anybody's talking about anymore. How can you actually know? How can you make a decision? It's like, you know what I mean? The way that we, like, okay, Planned Parenthood, right? Planned Parenthood is actually for abortions. It's for people who didn't plan shit out. So you don't know if you're pro-choice or you're anti-consequences. The whole shit is... If you think about them shits long enough, you'll go fucking crazy. And that's when you gotta find a stripper and be like, bitch, explain this to me. You know the dark side. Semantics. Man. I know. All right, I should get out of here. I'm freaking myself out. And I'm hungry. And I just got here. And then I was like, I got in the car and said, take me to the comedy club. And that's how I got here. I don't know. Like, what happened with you guys? You guys just decide, like, how do you decide to come here? Like, you two guys right here. I mean, literally, I look at you guys, I can't imagine what your story is, but I know you, like, okay, how old are you guys?
19.
You're 19, of course. They're too young to drink, but they just the right age to have a great ass time. I have been 19. I can't even fucking explain what that was like. It's great. I mean, I'm surprised. I mean, you know, I remember what it was like for me. I don't know what you... Huh? How can I explain what 19 was? How can you have a good time? Oh, that's right. You are Australian. You can have a good time without drinking, can't you? You have a great time without drinking. I do it all the time. I was in Saudi Arabia. I didn't drink a drop the whole time I was there. And I had a blast. Dave, what did you do for fun in Saudi Arabia? What the hell? I drove an Escalade with 16-cent gas. That shit was fucking great. Drove that motherfucker in circles. What oil problem? You got to see it to believe it in Saudi. That motherfucker, there is no gas station. He just rolled out. Time to roll. That shit was great. I went to Dubai. You ever been in this place, Dubai? How is it? Well, have you ever seen the movie Blade Runner? It's like that, but sunny, with no robots or problems. Oh, it was fucking great. And there's somebody, they building shit like you wouldn't. I mean, that shit looked like Legoland. That shit is amazing. I'm not exaggerating. I seen a billboard. We driving down Sheikh Mohammed Highway, whatever it is. They got a billboard inside the highway. It say, we will build your skyscraper. I said, who the fuck is that for? Like, who's gonna pull up like, oh, let me get this number. I've been looking for somebody to build my skyscraper. Yes, could you erect a skyscraper for me? I saw your billboard. We're busy. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. When I was there, they had 212 skyscrapers in production. If you can imagine what that looks like. 212. You know those big construction cranes? Half of all those cranes that exist on Earth was in that city, building 212 skyscrapers. That would be like if somebody said, I'm going to build Manhattan in the next 8 months. That's what's happening on planet Earth today. And another 45 minutes, probably. They're all taking a break. And by they all, I mean the Pakistanis and Bengalis. That's what's building. Everything has a soft underbelly. Yes, where else have I been? You guys are British, so you've been everywhere. I don't care how obscure a place is, I've never gone some place and not seen a British person. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. I was in Asia. I went to the Philippines. Woo! Who said that? Oh, you're Filipino? Oh, what's the other half?
Not mad.
You're not gonna believe it. No, my wife is Filipina. Yeah, and my kids, you know, are Puerto Rican somehow. I don't know how that happened. But I guess when we get together, we make Latinos together. They're not Puerto Rican. They've never even been to Puerto Rico. Why'd I bring it? Oh, I'll tell you what. Have you ever been to the Philippines before? Okay, I went there, and I liked the Philippines. I was actually, you know, I did not enjoy the poverty. I shouldn't even bring this up. I'd say it if Sherrod was here. It's the kind of thing, it's like, you know, when you're a comedian and you see something horrible, you should just only tell other comedians about that. Because everyone else is going to, you know, we had that worldview. I'll tell you, because you're a comedian, all right? It's not funny at all. I'll tell you, it wasn't funny when I saw it. I'll tell you when it was funny. Okay, so we're driving down the street in the Philippines. It was like urban area. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to Asia. Traffic, not so good. As a matter of fact, it's horrendous traffic. Smog, you know, it's somewhat chaotic. For me, for my American standards. Excuse me, everybody. Whatever. Okay, you've seen hood movies, you picture bad neighborhoods, you've heard all these things, but you got to see, you know, real poverty. Like when an American sees it, you can't help but be like, holy shit. Okay, so we made a couple turns trying to get out of traffic, and then we turned into, like, it was like the real world, real poverty. What do I mean by real poverty? Well, there were tons of things that I saw. In that instant, like we turned a corner and all of a sudden it was like, I've never seen any of this shit before in my life. One of the things was, because it was an urban setting, you have to imagine, it's a city, but there was a guy and he was, it wasn't funny to me, this was not my initial reaction. And I need to tell you that, but you're a comedian, so please look at it with those glasses. This is like that Kramer moment I was so worried about. Okay, we turned a corner and there was a guy, he's walking. And he have no clothes on, right? Now, that shit could happen in New York, but he, the way he was walking, was like he didn't have no clothes anywhere. Like, it wasn't like he was walking to some clothes he had. He was just walking like, I'm naked, B. So like, I know, now, it wasn't funny to me at all. My kids were in the back. They were like, oh, shit! Like, you know, they're like 5 and 8. Oh! Like, all right, so now, their reaction to it, maybe one of that, just because they're kids. And I remember what it's like being a kid. And he was naked, man, in the city. And we, all right. So I explained to the kids, listen, guys, you know, this is what the world is like. There's people out here don't have da-da-da-da-da, you know. There's grandmothers from there. She's explained to her mom. We all explained to her. The kids like, oh, snap, okay. So then we come back to America. It's like 8 days later, and we split up. Kids go back to Ohio. I said, I got to go to L.A., take care of some business. I went to Hollywood for a minute. And then my wife calls me up and she says, and she's crying. I go, what's going on? She goes, she did it. I said, who did what? She's like, Manny Pacquiao. He won. And I said, oh, that's fucking great. You know, this happy. She said, finally, you know what I mean? Filipino people feel a lot of pride when Manny Pacquiao won. And it was kind of touching the way she felt. And then she said, he's going to give his money to the poor. And then I say to my wife, and this one is funny, I hope he gives, buys that guy some pants or something. And she fell out like, but it was funny because it was weeks later and it was an emotional moment and it was so emotional. I felt a little uncomfortable. So I just had to throw a little joke in there about the guy we saw with no pants. As a matter of fact, this show is dedicated to that guy. The show is to the guy. Not just my set, I'm dedicating all you guys to shows. It's uncomfortable. I really didn't have anything to talk about. See that Barack was right. We can do this. It's going to be great. America's going to be great again. You'll all see. Because I don't even, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. Like, this is the first time I really voted. As I was an Ohio voter, so I said, this might be important. And as soon as I walked into the polling place, you know what they said? Barack's got another one. And I said, and I was, you know, I mean, why are you going to assume that I'm going to vote for Barack just because I'm black? Because I'm also rich. Maybe I don't want my taxes to go up. I mean, that's just my luck. As soon as I get some money, that's when it's like, get a black president, like, come on, Dave, let's be responsible. All right, Barack, all right. No, I'm glad to do it. They just raised my taxes. This is going to healthcare. I'm glad to do it. You know why? Because Americans should be allowed to be sick if they need to be. Yeah. I hope you have a good trip here. Do not get sick in this motherfucker or you are doomed. We don't even give a fuck about our own citizens. You think we're going to help you? We have that Lords of London on you. We don't give a fuck. We got to pay China back. And I've been to China. And I saw the Great Wall of China. Have you seen it yet? Anybody here seen the Great Wall? Anyone? You've been to China? Are you Chinese?
No, Korean.
Oh, man, you must have been so jealous. No, just kidding. I'm just kidding. You guys got the demilitarized zone. That's great. I mean, what do you call it? What do you guys got in Korea? The DMZ, right? The something parallel. 45th parallel. It's a thin layer of America protecting you. I'm just kidding. Did you like the Great Wall?
I did.
It was amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know why? Because it's the largest man-made object on Earth. That's what they said. And she claimed, the tour guide, that it's the only man-made object visible from space. I have yet to confirm that. I'm still getting my space money together. But it was amazing, right? I personally was amazed. Because I didn't know that the ancient Chinese people actually had, you know, Mexicans like that. I'm not saying Mexicans built that wall. I'm saying Chinese built that wall, keep Mexicans out of China. That's a very advanced culture. America didn't think of that till 5 years ago. I was kidding. Well, did I make that up? I'm sorry. I thought we were going to build something in Texas. Was that me? Yeah. I don't know. That wasn't my idea, was it? All right, that was an easy joke, and it was wrong. And you know what? Anyway, you know, if I was the king of the world, though, honestly, I would give illegal immigrants just enough legal status so that they could at least get a driver's license, and you know, what I mean, call the police if something happened. You know, what I mean, if you illegally, you can't even call the police. You know how much crazy shit, look, I don't even want to talk. It's not, listen, I'm going to finish up right now. This is it. This is all I'm going to say. All right, you seen the paper, right? I shouldn't even bring this up because it's not funny, but it's just an illustration of where things are headed. And you know, there's a high incidence of violence in America, right? And violent crimes and all these like extraordinary crimes you read about. And I personally believe that the reason these crimes happen is because our paper chase is so volatile that something about America is criminal to be poor. Like, you know, make you feel bad, so bad it's like you got to do something to steal. Something very desperate about our paper chase, just culturally. I'm not blaming the government, I'm not blaming, but it's just evolved into that. Now, so I read sometimes these horrific crimes will happen. In Houston, Texas, there was a serial rapist. Which rape, by the way, is never funny, ever. And the only reason I bring this particular rapist up is because all his victims were men. I'm not joking. 7 men, so you can't YouTube this, this is really, 7 men in the Houston area came forward and reported this guy. Which means he must have raped thousands. Because that is a very difficult phone call for a man to make. I'm just saying. It's not the same like when you get raped, ladies. There's no hotline or support group for that. When a man gets raped in our culture, you just gotta get up, walk that shit off, like, oh, got raped. Got a man up about it. I've been talking about it. These guys don't really care about each other in America. Like, I can't explain it, but I don't know what a British dude would do. You might, but in America, you know what I mean? In Houston, Texas, I don't know. You haven't been to Houston yet. That's not the shit. That's not. Like, if dudes go out, like, okay, these two dudes might be best friends, right? They're going to get out. They're going to say, hey, let's split a cab home, right? They're going to get, and his buddy going to be like, he's going to get out the cab. And before he even get over at the cab might pull off. His buddy's like, where you from? They don't play that shit in Houston. Houston do be like, hey, man, could y'all just wait for a minute till I get in the house? And I'll flick the porch lights on and off. Let you know. You pull off, they'll be furious. Hey, y'all could have just waited for a minute before I got in the house last night. Man, we was tired, all right? Shit, we had to drop everybody off. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with me? I got raped last night, baby. What? This is American culture. So I can culturally profile these people. The victims. Culturally, I could make an educated guess that the victims of these attacks were white. And not for any other reason except that black people have such a bad relationship with police in America. I don't think they would have called the police. I think only a white person would feel comfortable enough to make that phone call the way the climate is in America. Socially. You know what I'm saying? It's just black people don't call. Black people don't call police for anything. I live in a white neighborhood now. My white neighbors call the police for everything. It's amazing.
Hello, police. Yes. My neighbor is playing their music very loud. And I need police intervention for this. I don't want to handle this myself.
It's fucking amazing. I've heard black dudes getting shot like, oh, oh, call Earl, quick. pound of bring a pistol, some shit's gonna, it's amazing. I just can't see that someone coming to the clubhouse. Oh, oh, girl, what's wrong with you? Oh, I got raped, man. Raped? Yeah, they raped me. Let me use your cell phone, man. I called the police so I can fill out a report. Call the police? Fuck that shit. Nobody raped somebody in our crew. We're gonna handle that shit ourselves. What do you mean we're gonna handle it ourselves? What you trying to do? I tell you what we're gonna do. We're gonna go to their neighborhood and fuck somebody in their crew in the butt. They will clip out and be like, yeah, fuck that. You gonna get that motherfucker. That's when I walk in. Hey guys, what's going on? Hey, Earl just got raped. Raped? Oh, they got me, Dave. Yeah, man. We can go in their neighborhood and fuck one of their crew in the butt. That's when I had my Boys in the Hood moment. I can't get in that car, though, boy. What? You just gonna let somebody fuck her like that? And you ain't gonna do nothing? Hey, listen, man, all right? I got kids and I got family. I'm famous, all right? I got shit to lose. I can't just be raping people every time I want to settle my differences. Why don't we just call the police or something? Can't call the police, man. Raped. All right, just hold on. Let's just think about this, okay? Shit. All right, look, I got some money, all right? Why don't we just hire some gangsters? Rape these guys for us. Then it turns into the Godfather. I go to Little Italy, pay them gangsters off. And they be driving around the hood. There he goes. Hey, you, come here. Let me talk to you for a second. And the guy be looking like, oh, maybe I want to buy some crack. Hey, what's going on, guys? And then they put him down. Pull his pants down. Pull down their pants. And right before they rape him, he says, Dave Chappelle says hello. And I'm at the opera. And my cell phone vibrates. Hello? It's done. Okay. I told him Dave Chappelle said, you said my name? Not an appropriate joke, I know. Male rape is on the line. It's not rape. It's not funny, but it's so bad that it's, you know what? It's the kind of joke that I would tell in a nightclub, but I would never tell the joke on television. Even though I might, maybe I will. Maybe I will. I have mixed feelings about it because it actually happened. You know what I mean? And I want them seven victims to be like watching and then be like. And then after I do this show on the television, and I might be doing a concert or something, and I'll be walking in the backstage, and I'll be like, Dave, Dave. And the guy will be like, Dave, Dave. I'll be like, hey, man, be like, I'm the Houston Rapist. Thanks for the shout out. That's fucking awful. I know. I feel strange about that whole. The whole show has been weird for me. But you know why I'm doing it? For sushi. Can I have some sushi money for this? Tonight I am going to have sushi dinner. No, I'm going to go get sushi for myself. Hopefully with some of their money. And do you know why? Because I live in a place in America called Ohio. Ohio is a great place. It's the birthplace of aviation. So they say. Wright Brothers built their little plane there. Our license plate says it's the heart of the all, and our state motto is, with God, all things are possible. However, I tell you what's not possible in Ohio is getting a good sushi dinner because it's too fucking far from the water and that fish be tasting funny as shit. So every time I come to New York, I try to get myself a decent sushi dinner. And I take a picture of it on my iPhone and I send it to my wife with a little caption that says, "In your motherfucking face, baby." And then she texts me back, LOL, fuck you. You know, we have a funny relationship. We really do. We have a good relationship. As a matter of fact, it's amazing that she's not with me. Because I depend on my wife so much. My kids think I am their brother. It's fucking awful. I mean, hey, y'all, let's watch some TV. Mom says we can't. Oh, come on. That's crazy. It is crazy. I got, man, don't get me started talking about the kids. You know, one time with my wife, when we argue, everybody argues. But sometimes, like, I'll vent on stage. It's not cool. It's kind of unfair. But it makes me feel good. And one time I was doing that shit, right? And I guess one of her girlfriends was in the audience and text messaged her, and then she come to the show with the kids. But I didn't know. It was an early show. So, but then I seen her, and then I seen the kids, and then, you know, I had this ego thing. So now I feel like, well, I'm not backing down because the kids are here. They're going to have to learn somehow. Because now I just don't want, you know what I mean? Switch my shit up. It was crazy. It was the wrong decision. Then after the show, we in the green room arguing. And I say, man, I'm talking on this shit. Bam, I don't want to talk about this shit. I'll go up like this, and my car don't start. So now she got to give me a ride home. I get in the car and try to play like I'm asleep. But really, I was awake. I just didn't want to talk about the show. And you know who else was awake? My son, my oldest son, in the back. And I hear him say, "Mom, what is pussy?" I know, I felt awful. And then I had to hear my poor wife explain to her 7-year-old son. It was terrible. She was like, well, whew. I could feel her looking at me with hatred, but I was still faking like this. Well, son, pussy is what keeps this family together. I got so many jokes about them kids. I'm not ready for that, though. I'm ready for that sushi dinner. Spicy tuna, I can taste it. Salmon with the crispy shit on it. I don't know what that shit is. What is it? You're probably right. Tempura flakes. Are you a chef or something? You just can tell. Yeah, sushi's good shit. It is really good shit. You know, I go in a restaurant, you take your shoes off, and then they'll be like, "Sir, put your shoes back on." Oh, sorry. Sorry about that, you guys. I just get into the whole thing like I pretend like I'm a... I'm sorry, little fellas, because I know you're 19. You got a lot of adventures to get into. That city is calling you. And you're probably too young to remember, but there was a song just about what you guys are going through tonight. And it came out in the 80s, and it goes like this. You belong to the city. You belong to the night. Living in a river of darkness beneath some neon lights. And then there's a saxophone part. That's right. That's old school. You don't know about music like that. You're 19, man. It's amazing. You don't understand. You grew up with the internet. I'm just figuring this shit out. You got satellite television. You got a phone in your motherfucking pocket. I used to have a cell phone this big. If I talk for more than 25 minutes, the back of it get hot. You got these iPhones. I'm still impressed by that. Have you seen it? That shit is amazing. I could pull my iPhone out in front of Batman. He'll be like, what the fuck is this? Oh, you haven't seen this yet, Batman? I could go 5 years back in time with my iPhone. And when I get back in time, it'd be like, what was it, 5 years ago? 2003. Okay, I go back, 2004. All right, I go back in time, right? Somehow I get access to a time machine. Now I go back in time. It's 2004. And I go to somebody and go, hey, I want to get something to eat. Where's a good sushi place? I don't really know my way around. I'm from the future. People are like, you are not from the future. I am too. Where are you from? And I pull my iPhone out and say, I'm from 25 years in the future. They believe me. But really, I'd be like, I tricked you, motherfucker. I'm only from 5 years in the future. Shit is right around the corner, motherfucker. It's about to happen. I tricked you. I'm only from 5 years in the future. The rape stuff was funnier, Dave. Well, I'm sorry, man. I thought that was me. Okay. You guys don't know what I'm going through. I might melt down like Lenny Bruce on this motherfucker. You don't know what I might do. You ever see them old Lenny Bruce tapes? Like, first he's all funny, and then once they start, when he's talking all that trouble, he's... I should melt down on the show. How about Joaquin Phoenix? What y'all think about that? That was bad. All right, I watched it, and I watched that whole interview, and I said to myself, Joaquin Phoenix is a fucking genius. That was like the greatest press appearance I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, that shit was. Yeah, you saw it?
Yeah.
What'd you think? Why? He was so what? He was not. No, he wasn't stoned with it. Oh, listen, I've been high. He was in complete control of that situation. You understand? This is how brilliant it is. Basically, what he's doing is resisting every protocol of what it's like to be on a late night talk show. He didn't do any of the banter. He didn't do any of that, hey, good to be here, Dave. We got a new movie coming out. He didn't do any of that shit. He's a completely different kind of celebrity than I am by design of what he does. He's a fine actor. So you don't know what he's like. Only time you see Joaquin Phoenix, he's in a movie pretending to be somebody completely different. And he's very good at it. So you can't tell what he's actually like. So this is the first time he ever stepped out in front of his work and he was like made a point not to be charming at all. How have you been? Good. What are you working on? Music. What kind of music? Hip hop. And then everybody laughed and he goes, is that funny? I said, this guy's a fucking genius. 10 minutes on Letterman, he was on every publication the next day. It was in USA Today. Look how crazy it is. Everyone was talking about, he's a fucking nut. He must have been high or something. Joaquin was probably reading that shit like. I said, this guy is fucking brilliant. And you know who the guest on after him was? Exactly. Who gives a fuck what happened after that? Joaquin won, check and mate. I said, that's the Mel Gibson playbook right there. Mel Gibson beat the game. Easily. In a move so weird and abstract, I'm surprised no one's done it sooner. This motherfucker made an action movie about Jesus. Check and mate. There's no answer to that. This guy took $20 million of his own dollars. He made an action movie about Jesus. And the movie gross over $1 billion. He made $800 million off a $20 million investment. All in, he probably made close to $1 billion off a $20 million investment. Do you understand what that will do to your life? Do you understand how much money $1 billion personal dollars is? It can't. It's enough money to get pulled over by the police in LA County and jump out of the car like, fucking Jews. What's popping? Is everything all right? Police like, you can't say that about the Jews. I can't. Base, nigga, I'm in rehab. Game over. That had never happened before. And then followed that shit up with Apocalypto, which was fucking... That movie's great. Have you seen it? That shit is like Mexican Braveheart. That is the best shit I've ever seen in my life. I was talking like that for a week. Daga, 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 cha. E daga, cha. You wanna know why? Because he made a movie, a major studio movie. He didn't use one Hollywood actor in the entire movie. That's not cheap. That's amazing. He got indigenous people from the Yucatan to be in Hollywood. It's amazing. You imagine that shit? Just going to the Yucatan? Let alone going there to cast some movies, walking up to somebody in a thong. Ah, I got taga, 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 I got taga.
Have you ever considered acting?
Ah, taga, taga, cha. Ika, taga, taga, cha.
Well, my name is Mel Gibson, and
Passion of the Christ. I've seen that.
I'm telling you right now, if I had a sketch comedy show, let me tell you right now, if I had a sketch comedy show, I fucking guarantee you. I would do the funniest Apocalypto sketch that you couldn't even fucking imagine what I would do. I got an angle on that shit. No, seriously. I got an angle on that shit that's so good, I'm like, nobody do that shit. Saturday Night Live, nobody would think of the shit that I would do. And it's so simple. It's right in the face. If I had a sketch comedy show... Can I have one more cigarette and then I'll leave, I promise.
Rap.
I don't want nobody.
Rap.
I don't want nobody.
Rap.
I don't want nobody telling me what to do.
Yeah.
Don't tell me how to
rap.
Funky Black.
Rap.
You know, it was cool, man. The first time I went back out and did stand-up, it was in Cincinnati. So it's not far from the farm. I said, if I got to run, I can get home fast. And club sold out real fast. I played a comedy club. And man, when I walked out on that stage and them people were screaming, I get teary-eyed just thinking about it. Because this industry can say whatever they want, but man, people will hold you up. And that crowd, man, my spirits were so low when they was just holding me up. And I hadn't told jokes, but that shit was just coming back like the Karate Kid again. You're the best around. I was just doing it, man. So I don't know how this whole Dave Chappelle thing is gonna end. But I feel like I'm gonna be some kind of parable by either what you're supposed to do or what you're not supposed to. So I'm gonna be something. I'm either gonna be a legend or just that tragic fucking story, but I'm going full throttle. I'm going all the way. I'm eager to find out how this will resolve itself.